Good afternoon, everyone. This afternoon, my presentation is entitled, Where Should African American Youth Learn About HIV/AIDS? A Community's Perspective of How to Prevent HIV/AIDS Among Youth in Rural North Carolina. I have no relationships to disclose. I want to acknowledge my co-authors listed there, but especially acknowledge, have lots of co-authors, especially acknowledge Kate Johnston, Peyton Purcell, Jeannie Ng, and Giselle Corby-Smith, who is the PI of the study. I'd also like to acknowledge the collaborating agencies listed there, and also our funder, NIH, and we have a CFAR from the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill Center for AIDS Research. So this is my presentation outline. I'm gonna give a brief overview of Project GRACE and the study counties. I'll talk about our methods, then go into our results, discussion, and conclusion. So the data presented here today takes place within the NIH-funded community-based participatory research study Project GRACE. And GRACE stands for Growing, Reaching, Advocating for Change and Empowerment. The mission of Project GRACE is to improve the health of minority and high-risk populations in two rural North Carolina counties by establishing collaborative structures and processes that respond to, empower, and facilitate communities in defining and solving their own problems. The purpose of our study was to gain information from community members about HIV/AIDS knowledge, attitudes, behaviors, communication, and access to health services for specifically youth in their community. Settings where African American youth should receive HIV/AIDS prevention messages was the overriding theme that emerged from our data analysis. When reviewing the literature, we found that several studies have explored conducting HIV/AIDS prevention education in the home, the school, and the church individually. And these studies have been found singly to be effective in their individual settings. The extant literature has identified important barriers and facilitators in each, such as lack of parental knowledge and the influence of church leaders. These factors have led some researchers to recommend staging a multi-setting approach intervention design, but few have tested this possibility of a multi-setting approach. We found few studies that explored the use of multi-settings in their prevention efforts, and some researchers have concluded from their single-setting studies, however, that prevention interventions need to be repeated and reinforced in the home, the school, and the church. So Project GRACE takes place in two eastern North Carolina counties. And looking at the picture, you can see by the vast amount of blue that most of the 100 counties in North Carolina are rural. And the white areas show the few urban counties. Looking at our study county demographics in relation to the state of North Carolina, we see that both counties, County A and County B, have a greater proportion of African Americans compared to the state. And when you look specifically on the HIV/AIDS statistics, looking at the proportions of those living with HIV/AIDS in the state, African Americans are disproportionately represented, making up 67% of that population and making up 81% of newly diagnosed HIV infections among ages 13 to 24. For our study, we selected 50 community members from a sampling frame of 146. And from our list of 50, we completed and analyzed 30 interviews. Our interviews were between 45 to 60. Sometimes they got 90 minutes long. And all of our interventions were audio recorded, transcribed verbatim, and managed using Atlas TI. We used constant comparison analysis techniques aided by visual displays to capture salient and consistent themes within our data set. The co-authors discussed the results to further interpret their meaning. The primary theme that emerged from our data set was around where youth should be educated about HIV/AIDS prevention. The data centered around these three settings: the home, the school, and the church. So our community members that we interviewed represented a wide variety of backgrounds and sectors. We had political leaders, community-based organization executive directors. We had law enforcement, health and human services, parks and recreation, educators. We had a lot of people represented in our sample. Overall, most of our sample were female, African American, and between the ages of 40 and 49. So while the school and the church were mentioned as potential intervention settings as frequently as the home was consistently discussed among our community members as the starting point for educating youth on HIV/AIDS. And they identified parents as having the most influence in that particular setting. As one local politician stated, parents are the biggest influence on their children. If you have a parent who is open-minded and understands the process and what the consequences are, they can be instrumental in making sure their kids have the right information. In line with the important role of parents in the home setting, a law enforcement officer we interviewed elaborated on how TV, in most instances, is replacing the influential role of parents in the home. And he says, "I think one of the things that's gone away in our community is parent involvement in their child's life. We have a lot of mainly single mom households or single parent households. And the single parent is working, they're not paying attention to what their child is doing, and they're doing what they see on TV. The TV's the babysitter, and they do what they see on TV." We collected our data in the spring of 2009, and during that time, the North Carolina sex education policy in public schools was abstinence only. So there was no discussion on how to prevent pregnancy or how to prevent HIV transmission. The educators in our sample voiced lots of frustration with the restrictions that were imposed by this policy. And one educator expresses this when she said, "Instead of saying, 'No, you just don't want to have sex,' what we educators need to be telling them are ways that they can prevent HIV/AIDS. I understand that they shouldn't have sex, but they're doing it. If you're not going to teach them how not to get HIV/AIDS, then you're pretty much wasting your breath." Then, as we probed on how schools and teachers should be involved in future HIV/AIDS prevention efforts, some suggested that sexual health be introduced before high school and thought that the repetition and a school-wide approach would be key to successfully teaching youth about HIV/AIDS. And one school administrator said, "You can actually discuss it, HIV/AIDS, in every subject. Chart it in math, the percentages that you want. Talk about it in science. Have journals written in first person, acting as if you are an HIV-positive person in language arts, and so on. The school as a whole should jump on board." And when we ask what should be done about the rising rates of HIV/AIDS in the African-American community, in both the counties, most identified the church and the pastor as being essential elements in preventing HIV/AIDS in their community. As one religious leader explained, "The church is still the most respected, recognized, and most respected agency or institution in any community, particularly low-wealth communities. If the dialogue is going to move forward, and if there's going to be any fire to the dialogue, it's going to have to start in the most recognized and most respected agency in the community, and that typically is the church." One of the barriers community members mentioned was the HIV/AIDS-related stigma that is still present in some of the local churches in these counties. However, community members pointed to the need for church and pastors to address the everyday needs of their congregation. One community leader expressed this when she said, "Jesus dealt with the whole man, spirit, soul, and body. We are a three-part being, so let's deal with the spirit, soul, and body from the Christian standpoint and what our founding fathers desired us to be as leaders in this world. And to take the forefront, we have to deal with modern-day issues and everyday issues such as HIV/AIDS. no matter how dirty, quote-unquote, taboo, quote-unquote, unorthodox, quote-unquote, they may be, it's life. While nearly all our community members identified the need to provide HIV/AIDS education and prevention activities in at least one of the three settings, several also pointed to the need to intervene simultaneously across the three settings to increase the reach and reinforce HIV/AIDS prevention messages for youth. The idea of using a multi-stage approach can best be summarized by an educator when she said, some of the HIV/AIDS education should begin at home, and in some respects it does, and in some respects it doesn't. You can debate that HIV/AIDS education is the school's responsibility, but is it the community's responsibility? Is it the church? Is it the outreach that's done by the health department? It may be a combination of all of those. This figure illustrates how community members describe the barriers and the facilitators within each of the settings that may influence HIV/AIDS related outcomes among youth. In the home setting, community members pointed out the barriers as being parents' low involvement, low HIV/AIDS prevention knowledge, lack of parent-child communication, and low parental involvement. Factors facilitated in the home setting include parent support and care for their children, as well as parents' natural tendency to instill values about life to them. In the school setting, the community members described how the state's abstinence until marriage policy, as well as teachers' lack of knowledge and comfort level talking about HIV/AIDS, served as barriers to them learning about that in that setting. Facilitators in the school setting included the tremendous amount of time you spend in school, as well as the educators being perceived as trusted sources of information. In the church setting, community members identified HIV/AIDS related stigma, the perception that HIV/AIDS education and prevention conflicts with biblical teachings, and a pastor's lack of interest in delivering an HIV/AIDS related sermon as barriers. A facilitator in the setting included the pastor being perceived as a trusted source of information. And another facilitator is that all who attend church, be it 10 or 10,000, could be educated about HIV/AIDS and potentially educate others. Community members believe that HIV/AIDS interventions should be coordinated across the home, the school, the church, allowing these programs to benefit from the strengths of each setting while mitigating the barriers. This conceptual model illustrates the intersection of a multi-setting approach based on our analysis. So if youth are educated at school about HIV/AIDS, that may in turn increase the HIV/AIDS related parent-child communication at home. Also, HIV/AIDS education at school reaches youth who do not attend church and allows for reinforcement of the HIV/AIDS prevention messages for youth who attend both school and church. HIV/AIDS in the church setting would reach those parents and caregivers who attend church and also increase the HIV/AIDS related parent-child communication at home. And finally, having HIV/AIDS education and prevention at the home, the school, and the church together will reinforce the messages from other settings. So we have a few limitations we want to address. We want to point out that no youth were interviewed for our study. However, there have been youth collected underneath the Project Grace umbrella. And another limitation is that we had a wide range of community members had different levels of interaction with youth. But we do have some strengths to our study. We had a large sample size for a qualitative study. We had a wide variety of community members that provided for a wealth of information. We had a data analysis that was a very rigorous process. And the most important strength of our study is we used a CBPR approach in which the community was engaged at every step of our process from start to finish. Conclusion. So a question you might be asking yourself, or maybe not, is why use a multi-setting approach for coordinating HIV/AIDS education and prevention for rural African-American youth across the setting? Well, our answer to this question is you want to do this type of approach to expand an HIV/AIDS prevention intervention's reach beyond the youth in one setting, and you want to do this approach to reinforce HIV/AIDS prevention intervention messages youth receive in that setting. Thank you, and I look forward to your questions.